I invite you to rise as you are able as we welcome the gospel. Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took her as his wife, had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today I'm going to share a reflection with you. You may be seated. And children may go out to the creation station if they choose. I'm going to share a reflection by Reverend Dr. Boying Lee on this particular nativity story, and I invite you to let it soak in to your heart and soul today. Fear flows quietly beneath Matthew's nativity story, though it's never far from view. It surfaces in Joseph's impulse to dismiss Mary quietly and the angel's first words, "Do not be afraid," and the precarious world into which Jesus is born, an unwed mother, a fragile family, and an empire that meets any threat with surveillance, violence, and control. Joseph's fear is easy to overlook, and perhaps because of the narrative, we like to highlight his dream, his obedience, and his place in Jesus' image. But Joseph's fear is not abstract. It's rooted in reality. It's rooted in the web of social and political risk. To take Mary in would expose him to public disgrace and religious judgment in a world where women could be stoned for suspected adultery. Mary's pregnancy was more than scandalous. Mary's pregnancy was dangerous. Joseph's response becomes about more than personal integrity. It becomes an act of courageous, an act of courage, an act of courageous solidarity. Joseph could have stepped back, but instead, Joseph steps in. Joseph doesn't fix everything. Joseph doesn't and cannot erase the risks. But Joseph does do something. Joseph chooses to share it. He says, in effect, to Mary, "You don't have to go through this alone. Give me your hand." This isn't language of saviorism. This isn't a language of fix it or make it okay or make it not happen. This is language of accompaniment. It's what we might call a theology of proximity or a theology of presence, where faithfulness means drawing near to the vulnerable and aligning ourselves with those at risk, even when we are afraid ourselves. as the angel reminds Joseph, "Do not be afraid, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God is already at work." Joseph is invited to join in, not as a hero, but as a partner. In a world defined by empire and masculinity and honor-shame boundaries, Joseph's posture is striking. The gospel opens up with a quiet act of resistance. Joseph lays aside the patriarchal expectation and the legalistic judgment, choosing instead to protect Mary and the unborn child. In doing so, Joseph is becoming part, a quiet but vital part, of God's liberating plan. This is not only personal, it's profoundly political. Matthew's gospel constructs a community not by bloodline, but by shared commitment to God's justice, by family formed through faith and solidarity. The Holy Family becomes a model for us today, not because they lived without fear, but because they allowed the fear to move them towards justice, safety, and protection. How might our fears do the same? There are people in our communities living in fear every day. Those with unwanted diagnosis. Those whose futures may seem to be bleak. Immigrants and asylum seekers fearing deportation. People fearing rejection and violence. Parents fearing for their children's safety. People living in war zones or under constant threat of violence, fearing that conflict will never cease. Fear, not born, of irrationality. It's fear, born of the injustices of the broken world we live. If we allow ourselves to listen, to truly listen, we may find out that our fear is not something to push away, but something to transform. Fear is energy, and when grounded in love, it can lead to fierce compassion, courageous solidarity, and the fire of justice. In Luke Oliver Merson's painting, The Rest on the Flight into Egypt, Mary rests in the arms of a sphinx, an unlikely source of safety. And this image disturbs and unsettles traditional sensibilities, but it beautifully captures the truth that hospitality often comes from the unexpected places. For those who flee from violence often find shelter in the arms of strangers. So we ask today, what stories of unexpected kindness do we hold? What new alliances, what new communities of care might our own fear lead us to build? God does not leave the Holy Family alone in their fear. And God does not leave us either. The Christmas story does not promise a world without Herods or challenges or trials. But the Christmas story does promise us Emmanuel, God with us, even when we're afraid. The presence of God does not remove our fear, but it does transform how we respond to it. So this Christmas season, let us ask not only, what do I fear? But also, whose fear am I called to notice? And may our fear, like Joseph, become movement, become action, become protection, become warmth of a fire, become love. Amen.